Hello and welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, joined alongside me by
Hugh Dana,
as usual. And we are coming to you live from the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples at the UBC campus in Vancouver. Hugh, how are you today?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right.
It is Easter Monday, special holiday edition. The station is empty.
Mm-hmm. We are the only people in here. It is just us, these four walls, and our microphones.
But we're here for a reason. We got some juicy things to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some important things almost.
Well,
maybe some debatably important things.
As important as something that's unimportant can be.
Correct.
You know, I think it was, it's some pope who had a line about soccer, saying that of all the unimportant things, football is the most unimportant.
Yeah.
And we'll get into maybe like
the beautiful game,
the fifth most important thing on the unimportant list on the list of unimportant
Fair
things.
Fair enough, man. If that's where music is for you.
No, not music as a whole, but like art is a genuinely important thing, but this aspect of art is pretty unimportant.
Fair enough, man. But anyways, we are, of course, talking about Metro Boomin and Future's new album, collab album, We Don't Trust You. Dropped 10 days ago. We always give it about a week to marinate. And yeah, this is part one of like a two-album
rollout.
Two-album drop
doing.
Here. This one features appearances from The Weeknd, two from Travis Scott, Playboi Carti, Kendrick Lamar, Rick Ross, pretty much all of Drake's ops.
What do you mean?
The Weeknd.
Rick Ross is a Drake op now?
Oh, I don't know, but Rick Ross is there. We talked about our excitement for this at length. It mm-hmm. finally came. It came with a huge boom. We'll get into all of that later. First, we can discuss the actual music and what we were given.
Yeah.
17 tracks, 59 minutes. What were you, how are you feeling 10 days in? Or I guess what were your first tells, I mean, maybe we know how we were feeling.
We kind of know. Expectations, there was excitement for the album. One of the best producers at this point, like, ever in hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the defining, teaming up with his frequent collaborator, as well as one of the defining voices of this generation of hip-hop in Future. So certainly a high deal of excitement for the album. Upon the album's arrival, I think it's going to grow on me a lot more. I think, like, in the first initial listen, I was the first listen is always pretty exciting because that's when everything is new and surprising. And so at least for me, I always I seem to like albums the most on the first listen. Unless, not the most, because, like, obviously by, like, the 20th listen, maybe you've liked it even more. But, like, you like it a lot. For me, I always, like, start out with a pretty high opinion of an album after, like, the first listen because everything's new and fresh and kind of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the subsequent listens, I was kind of like getting a little more mixed. But today's listen through was kind of my first listen through of the last couple albums that we've talked about on like the day of recording, where I was like, nah, this is good.
Mm.
I'm really feeling.
Okay,
feeling,
so you feeling interesting. So you've already evolved, and that's so why we wait 10 days.
Yeah, high, and then a bit of a. Not a low, but a rocky patch. But I think we're cresting upwards again. Okay. What about you?
I think that my expectations or my excitement was a bit higher than yours. I think you probably like Metro Boomin more than I do, but I definitely like Future Bounds more than you.
Yes.
And therefore, I was more excited. Off the bat, I thought this was a very, very impressive record. I was instantly was like, wow, everyone here is operating at a high level from both. I mean, all of the features, I think we should just maybe get it. Or maybe I should just talk about my expectations. But my first few listens, I instantly thought it was really good. Future is kind of a mixed bag constantly. We can get into that a bit later. But I love Future. This is a very, this is a real rap album. This isn't really what I was, I didn't know what to expect after I found out there was two albums, which I think there still is another half coming or another whole other project coming.
Mm-hmm.
This one is very, like, very intensely rap. Like, some of Future's biggest songs we talked about, like Coding Crazy, the one with Drake, where it's like,
Life is
it's
good.
Like an R&B song almost. Like Future, like kind of floats into like when he sings.
I think I think one would describe Future as a melodic rapper.
Exactly, and this is very much Future spitting rapping. This is Future. Like everything here is really like the floor. Like I was going to say, the floor is obviously the floor is so high. The production is pretty much impeccable. Like, there really is no point in even discussing it because it's, you know, it's going to be so good. It's always so good. It's Metro Boomin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when I think the melodies or the bars or the flows are weak, the instrumentals pick it up with maybe some, like, flutes over here or, like, a harp over here. Just, like, these instrumental appearances throughout the songs that just really help build the songs up. It's just, it's a really fantastic record, in my opinion. This is Future and Metro Boomin and all of the features operating at a really high level, I think.
Okay.
I think this is an album that, why do I think people would like this record is something that I like kind of try to make a point of when I'm talking about why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just like hip hop fans who fall across the hip hop spectrum, there's something to enjoy here. If you like Metro Boomin, you're gonna like the record, I think. The beats are fantastic. Honestly, the beats are not the kind of beats I thought would kind of come with a Future record. I thought they would be maybe more airy, maybe more brooding, maybe like more like cough syrupy. These are more really piano focused, really like intense, straight at you hip hop. And they're great.
Mm-hmm. And but they're like traditional Metro Boomin instrumentals.
This is Future on Metro Boomin sound instead of Metro Boomin trying to make a Future sounding record. This is Future going on the Metro Boomin sound, and he kills it for most of the record. There are some times now. I was thinking about this today. I was like, why is Future so bad on some songs on this album and so good on others? And I was like, okay, I think it's just the way that he crafts his melodies. They can be really good, but there's also like with certain beats where they kind of become almost lazy and monotonous. My mind instantly on this record goes to Slimed In, where he's kind of just like, like he kind of lulls you. I think that's just the way he builds his melodies.
Yeah, I think getting into, like, I think for me, that's like the worst. That's, what am I trying to say? I think that's like the worst the album gets is when, and sort of my feel like when I was in like my rocky patch of feelings about the album, sort of the main thought I had about it is like lyrically, Future gives you nothing. He never has and he never will. Like he's not spitting like overly complex bars or making or, you know, speaking on like great topics or whatever, right? Like he's kind of just floating on top of the beat. And so in my estimation, anyway, the merits, like, the worst songs on the album are the ones, or I should flip this the other way.
The low points, maybe.
The higher points on the album are when there is, like, when Future is able to, like you said, like, find a nice, like, vocal line or melody in a song, especially, like, going into a hook and through a hook.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like, the verses are, like, what am I, I'm all over the place with
not really. With speaking. You've been here. Very coherent so far.
Okay, well, I don't feel like I am. But, yeah, so, like, when he has, like, a strong vocal line going in a song, like, that's when it's at its best and that's when it's good. But the low points of the album are definitely, like Future, he's, the parts where it's where he's rapping and there isn't like a strong like melody to anything, and then you're just sort of stuck with Future's kind of slurred, mumbly rapping style that's kind of that can be unintelligible and sort of, and for me, like, monotone and boring to me. Mm-hmm. And so there are certainly songs on the album. Unfortunately, I can't, like, name them specifically.
I mean,
right now, but,
I definitely agree with you.
But there are points where it's where I find it, like, boring, and there's not really a whole lot going on, and you've just got, like, your metro piano beat, future rapping, and there isn't, like, a good melody or something that he's able to pull out
mm-hmm.
and pull you back in again.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head, specifically kind of with, it was often him and a piano, and one thing that kind of, one of the reasons I brought up there was kind of maybe a lack of future-esque beats, like sad future-type beats, like his popular songs like Solo or Coding Crazy, kind of moody instrumentals. There's none of that. And I think that he's still trying to fit in kind of the spectrum of his rapping. So some of the songs, it just doesn't work. Like some of the flows on some of the parts where I was like, ooh, Future's kind of hitting the low here. The flow is actually still pretty good, I think, almost throughout the whole thing. I think Future's really good. However, it just, the flow and the beat just don't match up, and it almost kind of becomes repetitive and kind of ebbing away. But I still think that he is rapping, like, this is one of the best performances from Future I've seen in a long time. Like, where just top to bottom, he's got good flows on. There are parts of every song where I'm like, wow, the flow is good now. On every song. And there are some few parts where he kind of lulls away. But I think that is just because of kind of him trying to work on these beats while also trying to fit in his kind of rapping so that it is a collab project. I really like it, though. I don't find that the low points... Obviously, I love Future, and that mm-hmm. changes everything. I love the way he raps, his mumbling, like when he goes all like that. I really enjoy that about him. When he kind of strays away from spitting and into all the other things he does, which can be unintelligible. Sometimes it sounds like he's crying and singing. But I always like all of that.
Okay.
So for me, I would say what I enjoyed the least of this album, if you're saying that's what you felt was the least enjoyable for you.
Well, but I also feel like that there, what, like what you're saying about the crying Future, like the type of noise that you just made there. Like, I don't feel like there was a lot of that.
There's
here.
Not. And I think that's because it is
because
mostly Metro Beats.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is exclusive.
And I bet that the next one we get a lot of Coding Crazy vibes. It would make sense.
It would make sense to balance like a strictly hip hop one with something that's more R&B, more melodic.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say? About like your feelings, like the strongest
I think I was a little shocked by how Metro Boomin-esque they all were. Like all of the beats sounded like Metro Boomin beats. Few of them sounded like Future beats. I mean, we might just be like puffing smoke at this point, like trying to do that. But this is not even a critique because this is like an A- for me. This is a really good album. All of the beats are dope. Like, even if you're not super into Future's rap, there are parts on every song where he hits with the beat because the beats are all great. And if he hits with the beat, there's parts on Claustrophobic where I'm like, oh, this is dope.
Yeah, well, Claustrophobic is one of those songs that's exempt from, that like doesn't apply to the criticism that I laid earlier. Claustrophobic's is an example of a song where he hits that line. Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the songs, I think that Magic Don Juan, the first half of that song is not great, but then it really
picks
up.
Second half is great.
Yeah, the Princess Diana is a fantastic part. But I don't have an issue with any, like, I really love Future, and I'm going to end up liking all these songs is probably how I should say this. Like, I like most of the songs. The really intense rapping ones, I think, are dope, though.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with what we know now. Like, they knew that was going to happen, so everything on this album, I look at it a lot differently. Everything is really serious. Everything is very pointed. And it just makes for a great rap album. I think Future's really dialed in. I think he really wants to be rapping and spitting on this album, and I think that he really is throughout it, and fans of Future, fans of not Future, will definitely find tracks and parts of tracks that are really good and really enjoyable.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song?
Well, I want to maybe shift to just sort of go over some features, discuss those, leaving out one. Shout out to Rick Ross, because I think he picks up like the energy a lot on Everyday Hustle, because I think Future's verse on the second half of that song, his performance there is a lot better than on the first half post-Rick Ross verse. So maybe Rick Ross gave him the kick in the butt and needed to go harder. But I like Rick Ross's performance. Travis Scott's verse on type stuff is, like, it feels like we're building this. It's really cool.
It's dope.
It's really cool. But I also feel like we're building to something that never quite arrives.
Oh, that's not how I took it. I took it as we're going over here for a split second, then we'll come back.
Okay.
But that's it. I mean,
but because
it is just out of place almost.
Yeah, it is. I think it is definitely out of place in the song. I think it would have been really cool if like the beat fully like dropped and we had a full on Travis Scott verse after this like big build up before big build up instrumental build up and all that before the beat drums comes in. But there's like very few like drums in the verse. Like it's very just spacey.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that leads me to feel like listening to it that there should be a payoff, and I don't know if there really is for that. But it's still like, but if you just take it for what it is in isolation, it's like a very cool thing that they did.
Absolutely, Travis Scott in particular is really good in this record. Both of his features on Type Shu and Cinderella.
I don't have thoughts on Cinderella. To be honest, I haven't listened to this album a ton because I was going through one of the worst mental health periods of my life, and so I didn't have the interest in listening to anything most of the time. I just kind of I'd put headphones in and then the internal monologue would just keep going and then I would just have headphones in with nothing playing. Anyway.
Relatable.
That's besides the point. I do want to shout out Playboi Carti as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, again, like, is the verse like objectively good?
Yeah. It's dope. That's a dope verse.
But
I think it's dope.
No, I still think it's cool. But I still think it's cool, and I think it's funny. I don't know. Maybe I just think he's more funny than anything.
But that's, you need to, I think it's crucial to think he's funny to enjoy his music. If
absolutely.
You don't think he's funny, then you're in trouble. Same with Yeet. He's in the same boat, same vein as Yeet.
Mm-hmm. But, but anyway.
He's building here. He's going on a little bit of a run now.
Oh, Playboi Carti. Yeah, he definitely is. I think Deep Voice, this new Deep Voice thing that Playboi Carti's doing is like my favorite iteration of him that I've heard so far.
So far, I've only heard good things from the Deep Voice.
Yeah.
Carnival, the other song on Vultures, this. Mm-hmm. Even that song with Camila Cabello that just came out that we could discuss. I liked his part. All of the songs he released on YouTube, I've really liked. Like,
I think because, for me, the thing that makes me really enjoy it is that he's actually rapping like a normal person would rap. And, like, it retains some, like, the Playboi Carti charm of he's not saying anything, and he's still kind of sounds kind of weird when he's doing the deep voice, because he's like, is kind of how he sounds to me.
Pain all of my heart.
Yeah. But
he's building. He's definitely going to drop something soon.
But yeah. But anyway, this like, version of him, I think, is my favorite, because he's, like, the most of an actual rapper in this form.
What's your least favorite?
And it's nice that he's got bars. Right?
So, Deep Voice, Cash, and Vamp. Rank them.
I think I'll put Vamp 3. Cash inherently gets 2. Then Deep Voice will go 1. I'm not horribly well-versed in the Playboi Carti sphere, but, like, a whole lot of red is brutal for me personally to get through.
Wow.
Again, I've not, like, gone to it to a ton, but the times you do listen to some songs, it's like, yeah, you've said the same 5 lines for 12
That's really important to you.
For
huh?
12 straight bars now, and I'm losing my mind.
So the content of the song is very important to you.
Yes. Okay. I think so.
Yeah, that's Carti.
And there's more, and even if, again, like, there's no substance, there's more content when he's doing this and he's, like, at least saying different lines.
Mm-hmm.
Even if some of them, like on this song, are completely unintelligible. But it still just adds to the persona and the kind of funniness of it.
Yeah, but the features on We Don't Trust You are all, like, A's. Everyone delivers. There's only four of them.
Weeknd brings the atmosphere as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, dude. Like, that was dope. Even he said he was done doing features as The Weeknd. It's dope that he did this one. Even if he's just kind of humming, singing harmonically. But both, I really liked both of Travis's verses. I don't mind kind of the pivot to Travis's spatial vibe, airy vibe in Type She. I think it's really dope. I like Cardi on that. Obviously, we can talk about the Like That feature in a bit. Rick Ross is great, but Rick Ross is a guaranteed good feature. Overall, man, this is my favorite hip hop album so far of 2024 by quite a while, by quite a ways. We really have only had All Is Yellow and American. Oh, we had
American
Yeet too,
Yeet.
And we had Yeet.
And the one that shall not be named.
Oh yeah, that one was okay. Excluding that one. I love this record, and I think rap fans are going to really like it. I think it's going to do really well. And, yeah, not really much more for me to say. This is an album that continues to grow on me. I'm finding new intricacies with each song every time. All the parts of my rap fandom are satisfied in this. This is a really well-rounded, very, very sharp piece of work.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with this album.
Good.
My expectations have been hit.
Okay. I think for me, I'm gonna need a bit more time. But like, it's definitely like growing on me. Like initially, of course, very high, and then it's definitely growing on me. You know, good songs throughout, and I think also too, once I like crystallize, like, what do I like? What do I don't like? And then I sort of cut out listening to the few songs that I don't like. That's just gonna sort of make me like the album more, I think, once you just sort of clear out the fat and you're like, all right, this is the meat of the album, at least for me. These are the tracks that I want to hear.
And as soon as you're done with that, you'll get a whole new album to
yeah, exactly.
Again.
And like,
I think they drop
12 days.
When is that release date?
Next Friday, I think. I think it's April 12th.
Yeah, I think it's April 12th as well.
So,
there's so many records releasing in April.
But definitely a strong album here.
Yeah. What was your three favorites and then a low point or the lowest point?
Okay.
I can give you my three.
All right.
I'm comfortable with my three. My favorite is Running Out of Time, which I think is the song with the most kind of melodic future.
Definitely.
Running Out of Time is my favorite. And then I love Everyday Hustle, the beat, Future Rick Ross, dope song, really dope song. And I love Cinderella. I really love the instrumental on that is very moody. And I love Travis's verse on that, and I think Future's impressive on that song. Those are my top three.
I think for me...
Should I say a low point or wait?
You can say a low point.
Ice Attack is probably the lowest point for me.
Okay.
Or Slimed In.
Yeah.
They're both cool, but I get the least from them.
Yeah, for me, Like That is probably my favorite song here so far. Definitely the one I've listened to the most in the early going. I'm going to say Magic Don Juan is up there. That beat, especially in the second half, is just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Future's performance, and that's the second half of that song is so cool. Thirdly, I'll say either maybe like type stuff, or honestly, What the F You Mean is pretty good too.
WTF YM is really good.
Mm-hmm. And then low point, I to be honest, I'm not even sure looking through here which are the ones that which is like the songs that are the contain the elements that I criticized at the top.
For sure.
Again, I've not had a whole lot of like front to back listens with this.
Should we play a song?
For aforementioned reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, apologies. I am a bad radio host.
I think if we're going to play a song, I think we should play the Where My Twin At. I think that's probably the song that will get the least interrupted by radio friendly
guidelines. That was the thing that I was wondering about going in and listening to this. I, for a moment I considered like playing the clean version, like just listening to the clean version, so I would have a sense of what would work for the radio and what wouldn't.
I think that the Where My Twin At is the one that is still a good song. I like this song.
Mm-hmm.
More of an upbeat, kind of fun, sunny day type beat. The other songs, I think, will be quite hindered by
censoring.
And
All right.
Yeah, I think if we're gonna play something, we should play the song that will sound the best.
Yeah.
And I think that is Where My Twin At.
Okay.
So this is Where My Twin At from Future and Metro Boomin's brand new album, We Don't Trust You. So this is Where My Twin At.
Oh, oh. Yeah, yeah. The Metro. Where my twin at? In the courtroom, with his head up. Ain't no tissue, any issue. Slang a at the opposite. Smash off, feel no wide body kit. Stacked $100 and it's obvious. $2 million a show, I can geek an audience. Where the win at? Where the lean at? Where the fin at? Where my twin at? In the courtroom, I'm on mushrooms. Renew the contract, that's a process. We ain't stopping. We ain't boxed in, forever locked in. Take that go squeeze, don't you ask me. Getting mopped in the foreign while I'm back then. Few thousand gon' turn up the assassins, don't you ask me. I love Mexico, I'm always keep a decoy. Take this rapping global, still a D-boy. Smell the odor coming off it, getting re-rocks. Tied to the mafia like Reeboks. Bring the lean out, bring the speed out. Bringing keys out, bringing bees out, bringing C's out. We just tee up, we don't tee out. I can literally get close to my stash house. I done seen what do to a slime boss. I get the tripping and Jimmy Choo, I feel fine now. I get the shooter clip, let her find out. Them people high now, I can feel the vibe out. They swear they know the truth, but still ride out. I see my hitters on my life, got a log out. I could've damaged this shit, I couldn't talk about it. I'm tryna manage this shit, smoke a whole pound. Had this little sand man, time for the penthouse. I done felt abandoned, now I know how to win now. I'ma be a friend now, no matter how it end now. Where my twin at? In the courtroom, with his head up. Ain't no tissue, any issue. Slang a at the opposite, smash off, feel no wife.
Doxa Documentary Film Festival returns May 2nd to 12th, 2024. Audiences of all ages are invited to 10 days of curiosity and critical thought in film. For 22 years, Doxa continues to present both short and feature films from across Canada and the globe, representing some of the best in documentary cinema. This year, Doxa is once again returning to local theaters in Vancouver and will feature live discussions, workshops, and other industry networking events with filmmakers. Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets, and we hope to see you there. The annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival is back, June 19th to 23rd. Experience 5 days of music, comedy, film, and art in diverse venues across Calgary, Alberta. Featuring New York experimental hardcore trio Show Me the Body as guest curator, incisive Chicago rapper Mick Jenkins, Los Angeles indie rockers Cherry Glazer, genre-bending rap artist Carrie Foe, Montreal-based hip-hop trio Planet Giza, 70s Zamrock revivalists Witch, renowned soundscape composer Laurel Halo, British electronic producer Forest Swords, eminent post-punk three-piece Wombo, Philadelphia hardcore punk group Soul Glow, and many more. Plus, there's over 150 more artists still to be announced. Check out the current lineup and get your passes and tickets at sledisland.com.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything.
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia. With your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen.
We promise it's worth it.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
Gee, your station has a lot of problems.
Tell me about it. Just look at our morning guy.
Hello, this is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you. Today, part four of our series of the agonizing pain in which I live every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, not the home of Mole Man in the Morning.
God bless Hans Mole Man, and we back. What you know about Hans Mole Man?
No idea who that even is.
He's a Simpsons character.
Okay. I'm not really the biggest fan of The Simpsons. When I got into, by the time I started watching like raunchy TV shows, like I was in The Family Guy.
Yeah.
And then The Simpsons was just like a less raunchy version of that.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed Family Guy more. But like The Simpsons is amazing.
Well, yes.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that.
Unfortunate. Well, I
reference there.
I enjoyed it, so you know, half the people here liked it, so yeah. I think that's pretty good hit rate for a bit.
But moving on to
rat beef,
another part of the conversation that must be addressed that has come with Future and Metro Boomin's brand new album, We Don't Trust You, the collab album that they've been working on for quite a while, finally came out 10 days ago, March 20th, and with it came
rap beef.
Some of the most explosive lines we've heard in rap in
rap
6 to 8 years. We are, of course, talking about Kendrick Lamar's verse on
Like That.
Like That, which
take shots at Drake.
We could read it. I'm not sure if, I mean, we can't read it, but it's worth listening to. Go check it out. He uses the analogy of Prince living longer than Michael Jackson and going to the pet cemetery because For All the Dogs isn't good and he's going to body it. And it's a very impressive and damn near lethal diss that has kind of blown the rap game up almost.
Kind of maybe the shot in the arm it needed.
Yeah, it did.
In 2024.
It's pretty much, it's almost pulled rap into two camps. This is like Captain America Civil War.
Yep. I've seen the memes.
I haven't seen any memes.
Oh, I've seen meme of like the Captain America Civil War where it's like Kendrick, Metro, Future, like The Weeknd on one side and then like
Drake, J. Cole.
Yeah, J. Cole, 21 Savage, like Lil Yachty. And they always put Travis Scott right in the middle,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Rick Ross is right in the middle, too. Yeah.
Caught in the crossfire.
Kanye's on the other side, too.
Kanye's not even present.
No, but he did post.
He did throw his hat into the ring, which was basically saying, "I'm better than both of you."
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Kendrick Lamar diss Drake, which is a monumental event in rap, pretty much.
Well,
two of the largest stars, one of probably the largest hip hop star of all time, and maybe the greatest rapper of all time. I mean, they have had beef for a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say this.
Like early 2010, pretty much.
This has been bubbling under the surface for a while.
They both made a song with each other. They made two songs together. And yeah, it's been well documented that Kendrick is not a fan of Drake. Kendrick's beef with Drake is, at least I guess if we want to start talking about it. For me, Kendrick's beef with Drake is quite different than most. Like, I'm not sure.
I don't know what it's about.
I'm not sure. Like, if you listen to Underground Kings, Buried Alive interview off of Take Care, which is pretty much Kendrick talking about how he hated Drake until he met him, or meeting Drake and kind of the animosity he inherently had towards him for kind of what he... Like, I think Kendrick... What Kendrick dislikes the most about Drake is not his actions, but what he represents. Because we all know that Kendrick hates the culture. Kendrick's given up on the culture. That was like a video essay title I saw multiple times years ago. Like, Kendrick's given up on the culture. And Drake is kind of like the beacon for what that culture is. He kind of created like the light skin memes, and he kind of just pulled rap in this one direction, and he's incredibly wealthy, and he never talks about the problem. Like, he always, he's lots of kind of just like the way that Drake represents, I think Kendrick really dislikes. I don't even know if there was a diss on For All the Dogs and First Person Shooter.
No, First Person Shooter was, if anything, an olive branch to Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Because J. Cole says the line.
Yeah.
Refers to him, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar as the big three of hip-hop, to which Kendrick replies in this verse, F the big three, it's just big me.
Mm-hmm. And from Kendrick's verse, apparently apparently Future and Drake have fallen out. I don't know how much that is. We already knew that Metro Boomin and Drake didn't like each other.
This goes back a couple years at least.
I know it kind of came to a front when Drake leaked the version of Trance with him on it.
Mm-hmm.
Metro Boomin didn't want that version to be leaked. You have to assume anytime anything Drake gets leaked, it's him who's leaking it, because so few, like, things only get leaked for Drake when he wants, it feels like. So Metro really didn't like that. Apparently there's beef that goes back years. I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on all this?
Well, just
as the resident Kendrick fan, yes. Obviously, maybe I should say something about Drake real quick. This is going to last. This beef won't be settled for years. This is going to take a long time. I don't think Drake is going to respond anytime soon. Not anytime in this calendar year. I'd be shocked if he responded in 2024. He's going, like DJ Academic said, he's going to really, really lock in. Because it's rare that you encounter Kendrick Lamar in the wild and you come back alive. So for Drake to do that, which I think he probably is, him and J. Cole are like the only two people who you think could come back from it. And we'll see what happens. I think if anyone replies soon, it's J. Cole. I don't know how they would reply. I think J. Cole's reply would kind of be more questioning why he did it and not ripping into him.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think Drake would go at him.
Yeah, because I think... To add on to that point, I think the J. Cole and Kendrick are cut from a more similar cloth.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, whereas Kendrick and Drake represent two different sides of hip hop, I think.
Life, pretty much.
Yeah, or you can even say life in just and like two different sides of like have being famous and having
exactly.
A public image and the way you interact with your audience. Like there is a lot of difference.
That's where I think most of the discretion or towards each other or aggression towards each other, it comes from them being at the two polar opposite positions. That's what I think. Like, this came out of kind of nowhere, but Kendrick's incredibly calculated. He just didn't get in the booth and come up with that and be like, put it on.
Yeah.
Like, this, he probably wrote this verse 9-10 months ago, and like, this is all really, really calculated. And it makes you think about how the rest of the album was crafted, because they knew that, and I think it makes the album better in general. I think we should make that point. Kendrick dissing Drake does not mean this album is not good. It makes the album better, I think, because it forced them, Metro and Future, to work harder on the other songs. Because now you have Kendrick pretty much pressing the red button
mm-hmm.
on your record.
Yeah.
So the rest of your record has to be amazing. It can't be remembered as, oh, that was the place that Kendrick finally shot the shot, which I think it inevitably will be. But
yeah.
I think it's good for the record. And I think you're right. It's good for the rap game.
Because mm-hmm.
there's really only five people standing. Lil Baby's gone. It's really just Future, 21.
Well, it's more than that, but
Like the main players.
But it's stale.
It's stale.
It needed a shot in arc.
It's
like
the people who were there before I was in high school.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, my sort of view on this is, one, selfishly, I do love that this is a thing, kind of, just because of, like, you're a huge Drake fan, I'm a huge Kendrick fan, and so it's fun that, like, our two favorite artists are now in a very public beef.
Yeah.
And as well, it's also fun to see, because we've debated the merits of each of their work. And so it's also then fun to see, like, the general consensus around this be that, like, my favorite guy just killed your favorite guy, and, like, my favorite guy is so much of a better rapper than your favorite guy, and da-da-da-da. And so I'm enjoying it from that side of things.
Yeah, it's a shame that DJ is in here, because DJ had some really interesting... DJ was... Pretty much, I mean, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I think his point of view is worth bringing up, because yeah. I would love your perspective on it. I don't necessarily feel the same way, but DJ and I look at music inherently different. He was like, I have less respect for Kendrick Lamar because he called him out. And I was like, huh, interesting. And he was like, I just don't think it's necessary. Like, why do you do that? Like, this and this. You could have done it on your own album. And that was really interesting for me. Really interesting. That's not all of it, but he was kind of just, he didn't really think it was, he almost thought it was lame. Mm. I couldn't really explain why that was. I think he was like, you should have waited for your own record kind of thing. I also just think DJ doesn't like, DJ would rather the rap game be at peace, almost. But he's surprised. I mean, he definitely is Team Drake, but...
He wants order in the court.
Yeah.
He's like, boys, settle down.
Yeah. And I mean...
Stop hitting each other.
Where do you see this going?
Well, like you said, I think it would be wise for Drake to take his time in responding, because, like it or not, Kendrick's a much better rapper than Drake is. And so if Drake comes out with a thing in, like, after, like, a month of this becoming a thing, and he, like, rushes out a quick response, then it's just going to immediately blow up in his face.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah,
though.
So, like, he can't take that approach. So you're...
What do you think will happen?
I mean, they probably exchange blows. Like, at the end of the day, nothing. Like, they'll probably exchange blows... But Drake is so big and such an institution that it doesn't, it's not going to, like, affect his, it's not going to kill his career.
No.
So, like, Drake will be fine. Maybe his his reputation among, like, hip-hop heads might take a further hit.
I mean,
it's already pretty low to begin with.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really matter. And the average person, which is Drake's target demographic, is not going to care that much about, like, the beef once it's over, and we'll just kind of move on and continue on. So I don't really feel like it's going to, like, change that much stuff with regards to Drake. I feel like for Kendrick, it's probably, maybe at least in the short term, long term, who knows, but in the short term, I think it's good for his, like, his presence in the popular consciousness, because I do think he kind of lacks that just by being somebody who is as reserved, publicly reserved, and releases infrequently. He's not super present in the popular consciousness all the time. So I think it definitely benefits his status right now. And it's kind of a reaffirmation of his status.
Yeah, and I wonder where he feels he stands after Mr. Morale.
Because post Mr. Morale, he did the Hillbillies, which was a weird song, intentionally weird in a good way, and then he did a remix on America's Got a Problem with Beyonce, which is apparently. It connected to this beef, actually, that verse was apparently contains, like, a sneak diss at Drake.
Okay.
Something about, there's some line apparently he had about artificial intelligence music, and Drake was caught up in some AI music.
Yeah, he was.
Thing, and apparently Kendrick references that. This is just something I read online. Yeah. For me, I guess the thing I think about mostly is like, what even, why did he, I guess he just doesn't think he's on their level, and that's what, he thinks he's above them, and that's what prompted the response, clearly.
And we're really, really going to see. Because I think that J. Cole is probably going to get... J. Cole might respond. I don't think Drake responds. I think Drake takes so long to respond that people forget this happens.
You know Drake's Instagram captions are going to be on point, though.
Oh, but he's an Instagram caption god. Like, that's where Drake is better than Kendrick.
His Instagram captions?
No, it's just those like, contemporary analogies and, like... Drake is so, he just really understands contemporary culture better than anyone else in rap. So all of Drake's captions will always be very contemporary and have something to do with something that's popular right now and be connected. Like, Drake is an insanely clever person. He is, I mean, he's as famous and as popular as he is for a reason. And we're really going to see, I think he, maybe this is probably better, this is probably really good for Drake, honestly.
Because he's kind of been coasting.
As like we saw the DJ
Not even
kind of
been, he's been coasting.
He's walking around with the pot belly, kind of. And yeah. If this is what it takes to, as you have said, Drake has been asleep at the wheel. If he's woken up now and he's going to take the wheel, that's great for everyone. I think J. Cole, that's also going to light a fire under J. Cole, because I think that J. Cole is... probably closer to being as good as Kendrick than Drake. But kind of Drake's largest appeal now is the fact that he can rap and sing. DJ had an interesting point that was kind of unrelated, but a point that maybe it's not even worth bringing up, honestly.
What's the point?
He was talking about how he was just questioning how, wondering how Drake was going to respond. Because, like, and his thing was like, Drake can do what Kendrick does closer to than if Kendrick could do what Drake does, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, so do you respond, like, how do you respond? Do you respond with, like, a song like Hotline Bling and just be like, yeah, dude, like, try me. Like, I'm just going to blow you out the water with an earworm that no one ever forgets and just drown the beef in my success? Or is he going to lock in and come out with something like Back to Back?
Well, I think if Drake takes the approach of trying to, like, drown the beef in his success, then I think then you end up with, like, North Korea versus South Korea. You end up with, like, the Korean War, where you just end up with a stalemate.
Yeah, no.
Because that sort of approach is not going to convince any, like, Kendrick fan, quote-unquote. That's not going to... That's not going to convince anyone on, like, the Kendrick side of the Drake's superiority, and it's only gonna, like, reconfirm what people on the Drake side think.
No, but it's never... I'm thinking, so, like, about the effect, what the effect would have between the two of them, not about what people think. Neither of them care, and both of, like, and what other people say doesn't matter. The beef is settled by how each other feels about it. Like, Drake conceded to Pusha T because that was just too...
What do you
big,
do?
Yeah, that was just too big of a surprise. And I don't know how Drake feels about it. And there's a chance Drake's like, yeah, you're a better rapper than me, but people like my rap music better than yours. And so at the end of the day, who wins? And that's what he might do. And Kendrick can't win that, because it's true that Drake is a... more people like Drake. And if that's the route he goes, which is not. It's an interesting way to go.
To me, that's conceding. That as conceding, because this is about. Well, again, it comes the eye of the beholder. To me, it's more about, like, if you just lean on the fact that you've got as many number ones as Michael Jackson or whatever, then I don't think that doesn't help you, like, win a rap beef.
But it
demonstrates what we already know, which is that you're very popular. But it doesn't.
But why are
like,
people popular? Because people really like Drake. So if Drake did that, I think the message he would be sending
really
is
people really like Drake, but also people who don't like Drake like still really listen to Drake because of his like omnipresence.
But it's also because he's really good, bro. People who don't like Drake listen to Drake because Drake makes such music that kind of like what we talked about the weekend. He straddles so many genres that even if you don't like rap Drake or singing Drake, there is a Drake song you inevitably like just because he does so many things.
Yeah.
And if Drake goes for that route, what he's pretty much saying is, okay, you may be right, but regardless of what you say, people like and care about my music more. And that is a blow that he could absolutely throw. I don't know how people would take it. It depends on how he delivers that blow.
Yeah.
But that would be, to me, that's a viable blow. Maybe someone say like a coward's way, but I think it's really the point that the others want to make is how they're going to go into this. I don't think Drake's going to come out and spit headlines. I don't think he's going to try anything like that. I think if he does anything, it's going to be, you might feel this way, but nobody else feels that way. I think that's what he's going to try to do.
I think the way you phrased it there is the correct way to phrase it of, like, not saying I'm more popular than you, but saying, like, I've reached more people.
Yeah.
Like, I've touched more people than you have.
Yeah.
The intensity with which Kendrick does it on a smaller population, mm-hmm. but he does it far more intensely, I think.
Mm. Absolutely.
Well, not even I think. Like,
no, it's...
I'm hedging for some reason. The guy won a Pulitzer. Why am I hedging? Like, he does it more intensely, but it is across a smaller base.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like if you phrase it as like I've reached more people, then that is a hill to fight on.
And it would be incredible. And by the way, like if Drake does come out and drops like a In My Feelings as a response, and it just gets so popular and to the point where it drowns the beef, like that's an insane blow to land on Kendrick. That would be an insane blow to land on anyone, dude. And Drake can do that. He could do that. He could just say, look, dude, like...
We're ignoring... Sorry.
What's going on?
No. I was going to add another point.
Oh, well, here, I'll quickly finish this. And if Drake wants to say, look, dude, nobody cares what you say because people like my music this much more than yours, and I'm going to show you that, and that's where we're going to end this whole thing, which... might be the best way for Drake to end this. Say, look, dude, what you say could be right, but at the end of the day, I've got bigger guns. And I don't think he's going to do that, though. I really don't know what he's going to do.
Because the other thing, sorry, the thing I want to say here, though, is that the other part of this, of course, is that there will be a response to
exactly.
the response.
Exactly.
And, like, that's where... And I think that'll be I think that's the key part.
And I think that's why Drake might go with a hit for this. Because if Drake does it and it's like Hotline Bling, well, it doesn't even matter what Kendrick's response is.
Sure, yeah, if he makes a song that...
If it does...
That's that.
And he can't... And that might be the only way for people to say, wow, Drake won. Because at the end of the day, people... just concede the fact that Drake is who Drake is and you can't take him down. That's what would kind of be the result.
Counterpoint, though. In order for him to make a response that ends up being as popular as a song like Hotline Bling or In My Feelings, I don't think that it would be as focused on the beef itself.
Mm.
He'd throw in some lines, but it wouldn't be about... But you couldn't make a diss response song that gets that popular. It would have to be about something else, and you throw diss elements in, which would then conversely maybe weaken the stance because you're like ducking you're ducking the shots. Like instead of taking them head on and like responding with as many of your own, you're kind of dodging them and trying to like coat it with a big pop hit.
Which is a very powerful weapon that Drake can wield, and we'll see if he does.
Yeah, but
it's fascinating, man.
But I'm saying like, on the other side, would then like look at that and be like, oh, so you're not gonna actually like take us serious on this. You're going to just sort of try to dance your way around this.
That'll be interesting. And that really depends on how big the song gets. If Drake makes another Drake classic and everyone is dancing to it all summer long, does it even matter? Then everyone's like, okay, this is what Drake's point was. And it would be him kind of conceding. He would be like, yeah, you can rap better than me. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do something you can't do and people will remember. And I think that would be an impressive thing. I really don't know what he'll do. I think time will tell.
Yeah. That would also, I think, require putting pride aside.
Yeah. And it really depends on what Drake cares mostly about regarding this. And I mean, there's so many factors that are so impossible to dive into. The best thing to do is just sit on the sidelines and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And with that, is there anything you want to shout out this week?
Shout out to the sun.
Fair enough, man.
The weather's been pretty nice.
There is a new David song that I think was worth playing. Deforvid, stylized Deforvid.
Is it 2 minutes?
Two and a half minutes long. So we could close out to this song. I think it's worth it. It's a really cool song. This is Deforvid, Feel It, from the original. It's for the soundtrack of Invincible, which is a super dope animated superhero show on Amazon Prime. So this is David's, or I guess We Have Been Music's on the menu. I'm Hugh.
Alex.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
Enjoy next your week. We'll probably talk about Beyonce's new record, Cowboy Carter, which I think we need to discuss. Because, wow, that is very impressive. But, yeah, We Have Been Music's on the menu. Hope you guys enjoy your week. To close us out, this is David's new single for the show Invincible called Feel It. Don't you get me started now.